on your lap. Tradition is left hand down first, and then right hand on top of it. Then, you know, when I first went to the monastery, they said, keep your thumbs up straight like that. And I was concentrating on that, and I found out I wasn't meditating. I was just trying to keep them up. And if they go down like that, it's okay, okay? So you read the book, and you're, like, struggling to keep them up. And I think it's okay to go like this, okay? I find that if you are, if the room is cold, it helps me to do this, and it keeps my arms into my body, and it builds up heat in my chest, and I feel warmer. If the room is too hot, then I go like this, and I keep my hands on my knees. I used to do this because it felt better, and it kept my back. I felt like my back was straighter, but you might want to experiment with pulling the hands back like this, and that opens up the chest, and the back is still is straighter, I think. So this feels more straight. They call it kinetic misapprehension in ballet. It means you feel straighter, but you're not. And then you might want to try bring your hands back like this. And then you'll find that if you touch your thumb to your first finger, it sort of closes a circuit of prana. And you'll be able to feel that. Or you can go like this. If you get good at it, try keeping your thumb just a tiny space from the first finger, like maybe like a spark plug. Like keep it just barely not touching, and see if you can. This is one of the only places that most of us can feel prana moving. Okay, so if you are meditating and you keep your first finger and your thumb almost touching, you might be able to feel prana jumping across while you're meditating. So try that. Okay, here we go. Please loosen the muscles of your forehead. Loosen the muscles of your face. Check the muscles around your lips and the corners of your mouth. See that they're loose? You might want to open your mouth, loosen the muscles. You can keep your mouth cracked open just a bit if you want, or you can close it. You shouldn't breathe through your mouth unless your nose is stuffed up. Check in with the eyelids. Make sure that the eyelids are soft. No tension in the eyelids. Bring your awareness to your tummy, your stomach, and tighten it just a bit. Bring it in just a bit. That will loosen the lower back, and you'll be able to sit more comfortably. And then slowly bring your awareness to your breath. Don't try to control it. Just watch it. long exhales. Try to see if you can purposely make your exhales longer. Keep your eyelids soft. Keep your face soft. We tend to tighten up again as we concentrate on the breath. If someone were watching your face, would it look peaceful like a Buddha? Then you can slowly come out, open your eyes. So I thought we'll be doing a more meditation. But what I thought to talk about two things this morning. One is the idea that meditation can make your mind peaceful. And then I think secondly, it's really important to talk about how to get into the habit of meditating. So those are two subjects. We can talk for many days about the mechanics of meditation, but if you don't meditate, it doesn't matter. I worked in the diamond business. We started with a small company. We started with three people. We rented a table inside another guy's office. We had, I think, 9 diamonds. And we used to sit down and move them around on the table. You have tweezers, and we would just move them around the table and decide which one was better and like that. Later on, we were processing 300,000 stones a day. And that means you have long tables with lights, and you have chairs, and the chairs have the legs cut halfway off, which means your arms are like this on the table, and then your back stays straight, and your elbows are on this special paper. You can only buy it in Belgium. It's pads of paper about this big, and the diamonds slide across them very nicely, and you can throw diamonds in little piles, and you can process maybe a few thousand stones in an hour like that. And you spend all day there like this, you know, and your elbow's on the Belgian paper. So your elbow has to be on the Belgian paper to be working, right? So then we realized at some point, we have security cameras everywhere. You know, everything's on security camera. And because you can just walk out with a pile. There's no way to stop somebody. There's no, there's an x-ray, but you can't x-ray everybody every day. And then we found out a very interesting thing. The minutes that the elbow was on the paper directly correlated to the production of each person. You see what I mean? If you're not sitting there, if you're out having coffee or you're going to the bathroom or you're talking to somebody and your elbow's not on the paper, it doesn't matter how good you are, you know. We found out that the people whose elbow was on the paper the most produced the most diamonds. So meditation is very similar, okay? If your bottom is not on the cushion, probably you're not meditating, okay? So you have to get your bottom on the cushion. There has to be contact between your bottom and the cushion. Otherwise, it doesn't matter how much you've learned or how many courses you've done on meditation. There's just a correlation between how many minutes your butt is on the cushion and how good your meditation is. So part of our challenge is how to get your butt on your cushion. You know what I mean? Like how to establish contact between your rear end and the cushion. Okay? And it's not a small thing. Even people who've been meditating for many years, they have the same challenge, you know, like they have trouble getting their bottom on the cushion. So I have some suggestions, and then I thought we could go around and if people had any suggestions of how they get their bottom on their cushion every morning. You know, because some people like Fran Diane, I don't know, you must be meditating for 35 years or something. Maybe people have suggestions. So I'm going to give a few that I've heard and that I use. And then I'll open the floor, literally, and people can give their own suggestions. I heard one from Scott on a DCI tour, and I really like it. It's been very helpful for me. He said, by the way, we take teachers on the DCI tours. We have tours, I don't know, 100 cities or something, and we have tours all around the world, and then I get to go to the classes given by you guys. By the way, if you'd like to come on a tour, talk to, I don't know, who should they talk to? Mercedes. And we take 10 or 15 people to China, or we take them to Germany or Singapore or Buenos Aires. So talk to her, you know. But anyway, I learn a lot when I go to the... I always go to the classes of our teachers. And what Scott said one morning was, I never do my emails. I never open my computer before my meditation. You see what I mean? I don't do a text. I don't do a cell phone call. And I find that that's very helpful to me. I wake up, my laptop sitting on the desk, and there's something very addicting about it. Like, I want to open it, even if I know there's not any possibility of anything that will affect me this morning. You know, I still look at it, and I still want to touch it and open it and see. It's just like some kind of addiction of the mind, right? So I found that very helpful personally, not to open my computer until I finish my meditation. And then since you want to open it so much, you will meditate, right? I personally found that I don't give myself breakfast till I meditate, okay? Like, I think it's good to drink some juice or some tea. I don't know about coffee. I have a new way of making coffee. It's like half an inch of coffee and then 4 inches of almond milk and 2 inches of hemp seed milk. And that's okay. Like that. So those are my... that's what I do in the morning. I just don't let myself eat, and I don't let myself get on my computer like that. Anybody else? Any suggestions? How to get yourself every day on your cushion in the morning. Yeah. Talk loud. Talk loud.
We started doing a community meditation, and not like I'm any guru or anything, but I show up in the mornings at 7 a.m., and the community can come, donation or nothing or whatever, and it's at a yoga studio. And so, like, I'm there at 7 a.m.
I'll repeat it. Then I think we should use the microphone. She said it helps to meditate with other people, so she has a center, a yoga center that's available to her. Oh, we got a mic. And she's just there at 7 a.m. And I think Jeff and Nick can tell you maybe only one person will show up or two people, but then it forces you to be there. So I think meditating with friends is very powerful if you can do it, yeah. Especially early in the morning. Anybody else?
Same time every day.
So yeah. Like, exactly the same time every day.
I know someone who's found like their time, and it's like, you know, rock style. They're going to be there, and then it's different for everyone.
Yeah, I think if you meditate the same time every day, you will get you will feel hungry for meditation at that exact moment every day. Okay, unless you're traveling around different time zones. Anybody else?
If I start thinking about it the night before, then it helps start planning, way in advance. Just getting it in your mind. And like, because otherwise, if you get caught up doing things the night before, or even the day before, then it's harder for me to do it in the morning.
Teaching meditation has helped my meditation.
Somebody told me, Geshe-la, I'm teaching meditation. I said, now you can rise to a new level of hypocrisy. You know? Because if you're teaching meditation and you're not meditating, it's very embarrassing. You know, like people will ask you, what do you do every morning? And you're like, well, you know, many mornings I meditate. And it's like keeping your book, right? So, yeah.
There is something that I learned in business, and that was to leave something on my desktop at the end of every day to approach again in the morning, something that was ready for me as opposed to cleaning it off perfectly. So on the altar and on the meditation area, setting out candles that are ready to light and incense sticks that are ready to light, so it's something is inviting you to sit, makes it easier.
Nice. I think Miriam has that.
I started dressing up for meditation.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
No, it gets, yeah. So I would take a bath and I get really like my favorite dress on, and it helped me to get excited to.
I agree. One thing very important: don't try to meditate in your pajamas. Like, yeah. Change your clothes, because your pajamas have sleep vibes on them, and so make a break from the bed. You know, like, don't try to meditate on the bed if you can help it, and don't wear the clothes that you slept in, because they're connected with being sleepy. I think Susie had one. But
well, the most basic reason, I think, and these have been good suggestions, is, I don't know who said it, but you need to practice like your hair is on fire. Because if you want to get out of samsara, you need to meditate. You need to use your mind in order to do that. And so thinking about spending eons coming back here over and over might just be the incentive to get on your cushion even when you don't want to. And if you want to reach enlightenment, that's the way.
Okay. One over here.
I just try to sit for 5 minutes. I just give myself permission, like, just sit down and focus, and then normally it becomes very enjoyable, and I'm happy to sit a long time. So even if I don't want to, I just say, just sit down and count to 10, and then I naturally fall into meditation.
Okay. I think we'll start one more meditation, okay? Sit up straight. Relax your face. Try to puff out your chest slightly. Bring in your tummy slightly. Relax the corners of your mouth. Relax your eyelids. Please come to your breath. Now we'll do the traditional warm-up for meditation. The first step is to bring your teacher to the room to be with you. So whoever you relate to, it could be someone who's still alive, could be Jesus, could be Buddha, could be Dalai Lama, could be one of your own personal teachers in your life, like a high school teacher, someone who has changed your life, someone who guided you in your life, and ask them to come and sit in front of you in the room. Then it's a tradition to think about specifically what is one thing you admire about them, and in your mind pay respect to that quality. I can think of my teacher, my heart teacher, say the quality of kindness, just ordinary kindness, the opposite of selfishness, being interested in other people's problems or interested in how other people are doing. And think about one quality of your teacher that you admire and that you would like to learn. Then it's a tradition to make an offering. The highest offering is the offering of our practice. So in your mind, assume that your teacher can read your mind, and you offer them some kindness you've done in the last few days. Maybe it was baking lemon bars for someone. Maybe it was not getting angry or upset in a situation that was difficult. But offer something about your practice to your teacher, something in the last few days. The next traditional step is to warm up for meditation is to clean your heart, clean your conscience. Think of something negative you've done in the last few days. Maybe you were angry, or maybe you were upset. And admit it, which is the biggest part of cleaning it. So if you got angry with someone, or you were upset, you were jealous of someone, you wanted something and hurt someone to get it, then clearly bring that to mind and admit it, which is the biggest part of cleaning it. the next step is to think of something good you did in the last few days. It could be other than the offering you just made. Think of some kindness you've done for someone. It could be just a word or a gesture, a few moments of putting someone at ease, comforting them, or serving the Dharma or other people. Think about something you've done that you can be proud of. There's no expiration date on this step. You can think about something you did a year ago or 5 years ago. Be specific. Then we pause to think of something good that we saw someone else do. So perhaps yesterday you, or the day before, think of someone else, maybe in this room, who you saw working hard. There's so many people working hard for us to be here. Everything, the bookstore, the bake sale, the sound, renting the space, taking care of all the little details. The flowers, the altar, getting people here, helping do the website. There are dozens of people who worked very hard to allow us this beautiful time together. So think of one or two that you saw yesterday who are working so hard. And be happy. The next traditional step is to ask your teacher to teach you. And I personally like to think how I would like to be by the evening, this evening or this afternoon. Geshe Michael will be sitting here, hopefully, in the afternoon or in the evening. And how would I like him to be? What would his face be like? How would he be speaking? What would he be doing? How would he be interacting with others? What kind of concern or love would he have for the other people in this room? I try to imagine how I would like to be by the evening. And then we ask our teacher to help us become that by this evening. So I have a vision in your mind of what you would like to be by this evening. And ask your teacher to help you. And then the last traditional warm-up is to ask them to stay with you. Ask your teacher to stay in your life, stay nearby during the day, almost like a guardian angel. And in crucial moments of the day, to guide your mind. You're worried about something, you have a concern, your mind is going to get sad or upset, and then ask for blessings at that moment. When my mind is tired, or I've just had a difficult time with someone, then this morning in meditation, I ask my teacher to nudge my mind towards peace and towards happiness in those moments. May I be kind to the people around me, especially those who trouble me or make me upset. May my teacher guide my mind and make me kind and understanding at those moments. Ask for inspiration. Okay, then relax, open your eyes. You can stretch your legs. You can do some kind of yoga thing. I don't know. Any questions or comments? No. Yeah. You need a microphone. Do you have a mic?
I know there's the poster from Kyabje Trijong Rinpoche to help map out where you are with your meditation, but is there any other tools to understand where you are? It's hard to really gauge, you know, how, if you're progressing, and also like more metrics. Are there any other meditation metrics?
Yeah. Okay, good. We gave a talk at British Airways asked us to help to. They were having a strike. I think it was 2 or 3 years, right? And they brought us to their headquarters at Heathrow in London, and they. The union came and the management came, and they gave me half an hour, 20 minutes. I had to sell them within 20 minutes of whether they would do our training. And they did do our training for 5 days afterwards. But the one guy in the back was saying, I want metrics, I want metrics. You know, like, how can you prove your stuff works? You know, like, are there any measurements that you've done? And so Jeff is asking, you know, how do you know when you're improving? You know, because I don't know, something like sorting diamonds, you can count how many diamonds a person did in a day, and that's pretty clear. But something like your own mind and your level of peace is difficult to measure, and you're living with yourself, so it's hard to know, and nobody else can see it. You know, if like, you can get older and you're living with yourself and you look in the mirror and you're just like one day older, but you meet somebody who knew you 10 years before, and what's the first thing they say? They say, you look so young. Then you know what they're really thinking. Like, no one can see the condition of your mind and tell you, you know, you're different from 5 years ago, and you're living with your own mind, so it's hard to know if you're improving or not, right? I'd say there are some signs. If your meditation is good, different things will happen. Okay, one, I think while you're meditating, you become more and more aware of your breath, okay? So you become very able to watch your breath closely. The breath is calm. The breath starts to get very, very calm. So you can tell the condition of your mind by your breath. The condition of your mind is reflected all the time in your breath. If you are short of breath, if you are anxious during the day, you will find your breath is catching. So that's not an emotional thing, that's a physical thing. It's metrics, it's measurable. You can watch your breath, and if you find yourself panting during the day, you know, like you're getting nervous or you have shortness of breath, that means your meditation is not going well. If you get upset easily or you watch your breath, that's a metric, okay? Even during the day. If your meditation is good, you will find that your breath starts to shift and longer exhales. And I'm not just talking during meditation. I'm talking, you know, you could be sitting at work or you could be sitting in your home having breakfast, and you will find that your breathing begins to change and it gets much more peaceful. And watch your breath during the day. In an extreme case, the breath will start to slow drastically and sometimes stop. Okay, so a person who's meditating a lot and their meditation is going well, sometimes you'll find that you haven't breathed for a few minutes. Okay, which brings up a lot of interesting questions. You know, is breath what keeps you alive? You know, and that's a big subject that we won't go into. But so watch your breath during the day and see how your breath is going. I think another sign is that while you meditate, you will start to become aware of more and more subtle sounds in your body, okay? So if while you're meditating, the sound of your blood in your eardrums, the beating of your heart in your eardrums, if it gets louder and louder while you're meditating, if it becomes a distraction, it sounds like someone beating a drum, that means your meditation is getting better. After that, you will feel your heartbeat. So while you're trying to watch your breath, but your heartbeat's getting too loud, you know? And you will find that your heartbeat becomes sort of a, I don't know, it's like a pleasant drum that someone's beating during the meditation. And you'll hear your heartbeat, and your body will move slightly to the heart. And then you can watch the rhythm, or the, what do you call it? It's like a symphony between your heartbeat and the sound of the blood in your eardrums and your breath. So you'll become more and more aware of that. If that's a metric also. These are physical things that you can watch. I think lastly I would say when it gets really good, you can hear the movement of air past the hairs in the nose. Okay? I have more than other people, maybe, I don't know. But you will be able to hear this. In Tibet, they say your breath will be so still that it won't make a whistling sound in your inner ear as the air goes past the hairs in your nose. Okay, so that's a sign that you're getting really good. All right, you will hear, you will want to slow your breath down, because the sound of the breath passing through the hairs of your nose is too noisy. And you will want to slow down, okay, the breath. So those are some physical metrics that you can watch. Mainly watch your breath, because this is something you can measure. On a gross level, I think we'll talk about that tomorrow, but if you are meditating well, you respond to problems more gracefully, okay? And you can judge how your meditation is going by how well you deal with challenges and problems in your life. If you get upset easily, if you get nervous, if you get hyper easily, if you are anxious in your life, then that probably means you should meditate more, okay? Why that works, we'll talk about it tomorrow. How meditation makes you a more peaceful person. we can talk about tomorrow. But in general, that's another metric that you can use. If you tend to get angry easily or overwhelmed by problems or upset easily, if you feel anxious often, then your meditation needs some tweaking. Okay? And if you find yourself more and more happy, happiness is probably the ultimate measure of your meditation, right? And that people don't mention it much. But if you just feel that you're more happy with your life and yourself, your meditation is improving. Okay. We'll do one last meditation. Is that okay? You up for that? All right. That's why you came here, I know. All right. Okay, let's do one last meditation. Please come to your breath. I'd like you to bring one person to mind who you know is having a problem this week or today. Bring any one person to mind who you know might have a physical problem or emotional problem, challenge. Please bring them to mind and picture them in their bedroom or in their living room of their house. Try to picture them clearly, sitting. And try to connect with their challenge that they're having right now. Try to think about how they feel and how they feel in their heart right now with this sort of challenge or problem. Now we try to imagine that all of this challenge, these thoughts, hurt thoughts or upset or painful thoughts within them, collect all those thoughts and feelings that they have into their heart as a small gathering, maybe the size of a marble or a golf ball, a black cloud of negative thoughts or worries. Bring it all from all around their body, little wisps of worry and anxiety and trouble. Bring them out of the parts of their body towards their heart. Collect all that sadness or worry in their heart as a small cloud of darkness. Then decide that you would rather take it away from them and take it upon yourself than that they should keep it. I think to do this well, you need to feel that you have the strength, that you are strong enough to take on this trouble from them and these worries from them, and you have enough love and you have enough concern for them that you would rather face this challenge yourself then make them go on facing it. So you are willing to take their pain upon yourself, and you are strong enough to do it. And don't be afraid. We will take it on ourselves, and you have to be willing. But as soon as it comes into ourselves, we will destroy it. So first we take it out of them, and then we'll take it into ourselves. So slowly, as you breathe in, each inhale, draw the black smoke, the small ball of black smoke, up out of their heart, up through their throat, and out through their nose, and bring it to the space between you. Slowly on your inhales. And as you do so, think that you are willing to take upon their problems and their troubles. Then I will count to three, and on the count, on the third count, we'll all take a deep breath in, take the darkness into your own heart, and then in that same moment I will snap my fingers, and you think that a bright light, like a flash, a camera flash, has gone off in your body, in your heart, and that trouble, that darkness and that sadness is all destroyed in a single second. So none of it is left in your body. It's destroyed completely. We will take their troubles into our heart, and then we will destroy them in a single instant when I snap my fingers. So on the count of three, breathe in, and then I'll snap my fingers. One, two, three, breathe in. And destroy it. Your body is filled with light. Their body is filled with light. Their face starts to change. Their trouble is gone. They feel some peace. And just sit and enjoy that peace for a moment. Watching their face like a child, like your own child's face, become peaceful and relaxed. Then slowly come back to your breath. And slowly open your eyes. That's a really good exercise to get you out of your own problems. Okay? We focus on our own problems and we rarely concentrate on others' problems or feelings, and it's a really good exercise. We're going to take a 10-minute break, change into yoga clothes, do a pee-pee, and then we'll come back. I'd like, we could set the mats up in the usual and have some demonstrators and maybe some adjusters. We'll be doing beginning yoga for 45 minutes. I'm sorry, it won't be long. And then after that, we'll have intermediate yoga. Okay? All right. Have a nice break.